My name is Sam Clements, and welcome to this mini episode of the Picture House podcast. I say mini, we actually have quite a long interview ahead, longer than we might usually do, but I feel like it was so interesting to talk to John Carroll Lynch. I feel like it's okay for this one to run a little long. It was really nice of John to talk to us about his directorial debut, Lucky, the new film, and actually, sadly, the last film, starring Harry Dean Stanton. John Carroll Lynch is an actor who a lot of us will recognize from stuff. His CV is remarkable. He's been in so many things, in films and TV shows. He's often playing a supporting character, and because of that, I guess you don't actually do too much work on the film, you know, in terms of number of days, so you can jump between projects quite quickly. But I feel like the key to a good supporting actor is to, you know, leave an impact and to mix it up. You don't want to play that same character in every single film. And looking at John's CV, there really is no way you can accuse him of that. He was recently in The Founder, the story of McDonald's, where he played Mac McDonald. That was a bit more of a lead role, although Keaton was the main lead. He had a bit more of a more to do in that one. He was in Jackie, that superb film a couple of years ago, starring Natalie Portman. He played Lyndon B. Johnson. So another, he had quite a big role in that one. But recently I saw him in The Handmaid's Tale, where he's in it in flashbacks. And I was so surprised after seeing Lucky. I was like, oh, so he's still doing the supporting acting work. And I think he really enjoys that. He's often playing the police captain or boss of the office or one of those types of things. So he has sort of he might be in a position of power maybe in the film, but he's not actually got that much screen time. I also really enjoyed him in Crazy Stupid Love, that film with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in before La La Land happened. Also Zodiac from 2007, David Fincher's film Zodiac. He is amazing in that film. So those are some recommendations to what you can watch John Carroll Lynch in. He really has been in a hell of a lot of stuff. He is not, however, in Lucky, the film he directed. He wanted to focus to being behind the camera on that one. However, John did assemble such an amazing cast. So Harry Dean Stanton is the star, and it's one of those scripts that was written with an actor in mind. And watching the film, yeah, of course it could have been made with another actor, but it wouldn't have been as good. Like, this film feels like it's so perfectly tuned to working with Harry Dean Stanton in the lead, and it's such a joy to watch because of that. It also stars David Lynch, Ron Livingston, Ed Begley Jr., Tom Skerritt, a nice alien reunion there for Harry Dean Stanton and Tom Skerritt. A whole bunch of people. Everybody in this film is superb. I loved watching this film. John wasn't in the UK for this film. He hasn't been able to come over to promote, sadly, but he has Skype. So I said, well, why don't we, if it's okay, you know, we'll work around your schedule. How about we have a quick call and we can put it out as a podcast? He was very generous and said, of course. So he gave me a good chunk of his time on a Saturday morning a few weeks ago. We had a nice chat about all things Lucky. I really loved this film. I didn't really know too much about it going into it. All you need to know really is its focus is on Harry Dean Stanton, who plays kind of a grumpy old atheist at the end of his life. And he knows that. That's a theme in the film, that he is very old and he doesn't actually have too long left, which makes it even more sad knowing that actually Harry didn't even see the final cut of this film. But it's also about who he connects with. And the whole film is about these moments you have with people. The film is set in a small town, and that's perfect because you do get to know quite a lot of the people in the town. And it's about those small connections and how you can leave a mark on people and the relationships and friendships you have with them, whether they are brand new friendships or long-standing friendships. And the film has a bunch of characters who fall into both of those categories. David Lynch, for me, as a huge Twin Peaks fan, kind of stole the show a little bit, playing quite a dapper friend of Harry Dean Stanton's characters who's lost his turtle. I will say no more. The film is shot in this really beautiful widescreen, this CinemaScope style, and it reminds me, and I think it consciously does this, reminds me of things like Paris, Texas, which do focus on the desert in America and the isolation that can bring. And it's got this really lovely pace, I guess, because, I mean, Harry Dean Stanton shot this when he was 90 years old, so it is quite a slow moving film, but it doesn't ever feel slow or boring as an audience member. I loved it. It also has a fantastic harmonica soundtrack, or part of it anyway, and Harry Dean Stanton actually plays harmonica in real life, and you see him on screen doing that, and it's really lovely to see that. But without further ado, I will pass over to myself and to John Carroll Lynch, who spoke to me via Skype. I'm sure you'll notice that it doesn't sound like we're in the same room, and that is why. Please go and see Lucky when it's out on the 14th of September. It's coming out in cinemas, where it looks incredible. It's also available on video on demand, if it's not playing in a cinema near you. At Picture Houses, we're playing it in our Discover Tuesday slot, as well as on release. So if it isn't in your cinema from day one on the 14th, do check the listings further ahead and it might well be that it's in your Discover Tuesday slot further down the line. And yeah, I really recommend seeing this film. It's a small film, but it needs word of mouth. It needs people to go and see it. If you see it and you like it, please tweet about it, Instagram about it. It's a really solid recommendation. I can think of people in my family of all ages who would love this. My grandparents would love this. My parents would love this. I think my younger brother would really enjoy this also. That's enough from me. Here we are, John Carroll Lynch talking Lucky. Enjoy. Thank you so much for talking to us today, John. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I've been following this film for a little while because it sort of had this life at festivals since maybe summer last year.
Yeah, the first festival was South by Southwest, March of 2017.
And what was it like for you as director going into that first festival screening?
Terrifying. You know, it's the first film that I had directed, and at the end of the process, you're hoping the decisions that you made were the ones that would resonate with an audience. So I treated it kind of like a first preview of a play. I didn't go. So I heard about the response and then I went to the second show. Because, you know, you can't give notes. It's all finished. When I did the color timing for the film, I was all done with the color timing. Greg Gilreath, one of the producers, said, okay, we're going to have a quality control screening. And I said, so what does that mean exactly? Does it mean basically that unless the film bursts into flames in the middle, I can't do anything? He said, yep, that's pretty much what it means. So I just invited a bunch of friends and gave them wine and cheese and said, okay, enjoy the movie. Don't give me any notes. I can't do anything about it anyway.
That sounds like the best screening.
It's absolutely the best screening. But anyway, the response at these festivals has been extraordinary, as has been the response all over the world where it's opened already. It's been an amazing ride.
You're right, what you said earlier. It's with the audience now, and it's sort of
for
people to enjoy and put their own feelings into your work.
It starts to become something other than yours anyway, pretty quickly. The film starts to tell you what it needs fairly quickly anyway. And by the time people have seen it, you recognize how much of it has to do with the response. I mean, how much of it has to do with where they are in their lives, where people are, whether they're dealing with this age themselves or whether they have family and friends who are at this place in their lives. Those things make a difference in how they respond to the film. If they love Harry Dean Stanton, that's another group of people who have a very different response. Even though it's a film that's very strongly about Harry in terms of its inspiration, it was important for all of us to make a movie that would stand whether or not you knew who he was or cared who he was. Lucky had to stand on his own.
Absolutely. On the Harry Dean Stanton fan front, the press screening I went to for this screening in London was one of the busiest press screenings I think I've been to in a long time.
Oh, that's great.
So just going back to the beginning of this project, I think our audience will know you from your acting work because you've been in so many fantastic films. Why Lucky as your first film as a director? Is this something you've always wanted to do?
I've been wanting to direct for a long while. I think the first time I really considered it in terms of film was about 15 years ago. You go through the process of learning how to write, because that's how mostly you get to direct if you're an actor, is if you write something. And the things that I've written, I think they're very good, but they have business model problems. Like people, I don't write parts for myself. Somehow that doesn't seem to be what I'm drawn to. So then, you know, this film came to me through my friend Drago Shumanya and his writing partner, Logan Sparks. And that's how it came to me. Logan, Drago had known I'd been wanting to direct for a while. So when they offered me the opportunity to direct and the script was so beautiful, we just had a long conversation about what I thought the movie looked like. They agreed. And so we began the process that way. This is the first one that worked. It helps when Harry Dean Stanton is already attached. He brought a lot with him. He draws a lot of water. That's very true. He was beloved. Everybody who came to work with Harry, including me.
That's fantastic. If I'm right, it's a first-time feature for the writers as well.
Yes. Yes, it was. They became kind of inspired. They've known Harry for a long time, and they wanted to work with him, and they came up with this idea of him playing this guru on the edge of the desert, and so Lucky came to be. It was kind of, for both of them, it was kind of like the... What if we were to take all the things that Harry talked to us about over the years and kind of put it into a movie? So it takes a lot from Harry's life and makes it into a fictional story. Harry agreed to do it, which I think he agreed to do it for a lot of different reasons, not least of which was he really wanted to say a lot of these things. We wanted something to say these things.
I love how it pulls into various personas Harry's had over the years. For me, most notably Paris, Texas, just because it's one of my all-time favorite films. What was it like talking to Harry about the you know, this script and where you're going to take this character?
We had script meetings with Harry for about, I'd say about 6 weeks before we started shooting, because I think we had such limited amount of time and I wanted to make sure we could husband Harry's energy to carry every frame of this movie at his age. So I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page going in as best we could. It was funny to hear him say things like, I would never say that. And Logan or Trago would go, but Harry, you literally said this exact same thing last week. Like last week you said this. I understood what he meant. Because once you start acting something, the questions come up whether or not you know the material, whether or not it's yours. I think it became even, in some ways, during the production, he became even more vulnerable around the material, that it was suddenly his life was going to be ascribed to a fictional character. And I don't think that's a consideration not a whole lot of people make. I can't think of another movie where the movie was inspired by the actor who's playing the part, but isn't him. It's never intended to be him. There's a lot of cross currents in there for an actor, and he had to navigate them.
Same, I think, for an audience as well, who might be familiar with Harry's work. Because you do pick out those frame of references, and that's one of the joys, I think, of watching it. You're all watching it on a slightly different level, depending on how well you know Harry.
And how well you know his work. I mean, you can't send Harry out into the desert without thinking of Paris, Texas. You just can't do it. That would be foolhardy. And you can't have him standing next to David Lynch without bringing to mind the rest of their work. And what I thought was so wonderful about David in the movie is that the minute he says he's Howard, you forget that it's him. You go, okay, you're Howard. I'm buying it. And that's a handshake that not everybody makes. You know, like John Wayne was an incredible movie star, but 95% of his work, if you were to describe the movie, it would be, well, John Wayne is this sheriff. That's how they'd start. Or John Wayne plays this cowboy, or John Wayne is this private detective in London. That's how you start it. You may even forget the name of the character. So that's a different kind of relationship with an audience. And David's certainly an iconic actor, and I think Harry is too, but Harry just has always been a person who you just accept who he tells you he is. And I've always appreciated that about actors. Those are the ones I really admire.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right, he always has a very similar sort of look and approach, but you believe the character he is. He just seeps into the character.
He just carries a lot of truth with him. He insists on it.
As a big movie fan myself and a big David Lynch fan, it was great to see those scenes of them together. The script gives us just the right amount of them as well. Like, it leaves you wanting a little bit more, but it's a really satisfying sort of arc between the two of them.
One of the reasons why I loved that David said yes, and I was excited about him doing it, was you could feel when the chair was empty. You could feel Howard's absence, which is as important to the character of Lucky as his presence is. And the two of them sitting at the end of that bar, like, you know, Statler and Waldorf, was important that the rest of the bar was balanced against the two of them. And when one of them wasn't there in the two scenes that Howard's either late or busy with Bobby Lawrence, Lucky feels alone somehow.
In terms of balance, I think the costumes for both of those characters are sort of yin and yang, which is a really nice visual touch. How did you sort of approach that?
When we were going through the script, Logan and Drago and I, the first time, I was like, it feels to me like Howard's a put-together guy. He drives all this way. There was lines in the script that ended up being cut, but he drives a long way to come to that bar. Lucky walks there. You know, Howard drives several towns over to get to that bar. So he puts it together, you know, he puts himself together. And Lucky has developed a kind of a uniform over the course of time. The Einstein mentality of the less time I waste thinking about what I'm going to wear, the more time I can think about other things. That was a conception that we came up with for a lot of different reasons, but it seemed to fit the character really well, that he had boiled his life down to the essentials, that his life as it stood at the moment of the start of the film was as effortless as you could be. That life for him had gotten to a pure place that, of course, life never stays. You know, change happens, and that's what happens to him in the movie.
When you talk about the essential, there's no better visual scene than him watering his garden in his vest and his boxer shorts.
That's all he needs.
He's a man after my own heart.
Yeah, exactly.
in quite a lot of the press around the film, there's talk about how quickly it was put together. Was it an 18-day shoot?
Yep, 18 days, which, considering the workload that Harry had, was challenging. It was an efficient script. It was an efficient shoot. We didn't waste a lot of time. The whole conception of the film and Tim's work in it was about sitting with Lucky, being with him. We didn't want you out of the room. We didn't want you thinking you had the screen between you. We wanted you to be sitting in a chair across from him. And that's the scheduling was like that, too. It was tight. We did everything as efficiently as we could.
As a director, was that sort of a blessing in a way, or do you wish you had a couple more days?
One always wishes one has more time. I think that's going to be true. No matter how many films I get to direct, it'll always feel like, if only I had another day. But it was, building the schedule of a movie is like building the mold that you're going to pour the bronze into. You have to consider the shape of the making of something. And it was part of the reason why I wanted to direct was to be able to have the opportunity to form that, to create the mold for the movie. That was part of the excitement of it for me. The script had to be a particular size and scope. Everything had to work as efficiently as Lucky's mornings.
That's a really nice way to put it, actually. It does feel like the film was sort of made almost by Lucky.
I think that's a fair assessment. And also, every movie I've ever done, to some degree, in some way, reflects the quality and character of the script itself.
Hmm.
And the more successful ones have done that more successfully. It's when it feels like somehow the production is working across purposes to the script that your head starts to cock and you wonder if this is going to work. And this one, we wanted to make sure that Harry had enough energy for this very difficult script for him, because every scene begins and ends with him. At 89, no matter how in shape you are, which he was in good shape when we did the film, it was exhausting for him. And we tried to stagger the days to a 2-day week, a 3-day week, a 5-day week, trying to give him as much air around each kind of successive set. Even with that, there were days that he had to walk 3 or 5 miles in 85, 90 degree heat. He was extraordinarily brave in every aspect.
Speaking of the walking and the location, it's beautiful to look at. You found such a wonderful place to shoot. And I love that you've shot it in, you know, CinemaScope in that 2:3:9:1 aspect ratio.
Yeah. I wanted to feel the vistas like you feel them in a John Ford movie. The desert is as much a character as Lucky is, and in some ways they reflect and respond. Everything is reflecting and responding to essentially this fragility and vitality that the desert and that Lucky has and that tortoise shares and the saguaro, that these things are long-lived, but they are on the knife's edge of mortality.
Living in quite a harsh environment and going against
yes.
all odds.
And yet thriving in that environment. Where we shot that was at Cave Creek, Arizona, where Logan is from. It was on his family's land and part of what inspired the movie. The outdoor scenes were shot in that community, and the vitality of that saguaro is fascinating. It's the one we shot with was 1,200 years old, and yet it looks like it's going to die. All of it does. People were walking by these cacti that sense your electromagnetic signature and fire little needles at you to propagate themselves. So if you walk within like 2 feet of it, it'll spray these needles out and stick to your clothes and then drop off. So you are literally the way in which the cactus spreads itself. And yet it looks dead. But no, it's not dead.
That sounds remarkable and terrifying.
Yes, there's a lot of terrifying things out there.
One of my favorite scenes in the film is Harry singing at the birthday party. And I just wondered how you prepared for that scene and how Harry prepared, because it's so beautiful.
The technical aspects of singing on film are far more complicated than any audience could ever imagine, because you are editing a variety of images. You want to have the freedom to move around in the shots you've chosen, and they have to match the rhythm and tempo of the song. So you're taking one set of tempo in the music, and then you're moving the audience around at the tempo that the scene needs to have. So the tempo of the song has to be consistent. So you do these pre-tapes or pre-lap things so that the singer can sing with themselves back with the material. It's very artificial in a lot of ways. And we brought the mariachi, Adam and everybody, over to Harry's, and we did that. And Harry was not happy with the way that he sounded. It was a Sunday morning, and he wasn't happy with the way they'd sounded. And I wanted him to have the opportunity for a live version of it. So We did have a live version. Then in the editing, the suffering began because I wanted as much of that live version as we could. But Harry, as any good singer does, he swings. So his tempo was against the track a lot. And so we had to figure out a way to technically fix that. And that was difficult. My job as the director was to learn how to do that. That was something that I had not done before, and I had never really been much a part of that as an actor. I'd done a couple of fantasy dance numbers on the Drew Carey Show, but other than that, I hadn't really done much of that. So that was new for me. With the help of post-production, we managed to create the scene as it stands now. The fundamental soul of it, of course, was Harry's voice and Harry's relationship to Mariachi and Lucky's relationship to his community. Those things played beautifully, no matter how artificial the circumstances. Harry was so respectful, humble around this Mariachi band. He loves Vicente Fernandez. He loves Pedro Infante. He loves all of Mariachi. So that came through, along with suddenly this guy shows you something you didn't know he had. I think that's what an audience responds to too.
And it really goes some way to show the multicultural community that this character's living in, and you know, all of the pros of living in a town like this.
That's right. And that's the town we all live in. I mean, we can pretend we don't, but the town we live in is filled with people from all over the world, every place now. And that's as it should be. I think it's particularly at this moment in time, with a good portion of the United States wanting to figure out how to go backwards to some fictitious time that never existed in the first place. It's great to have this moment where everybody seems to live in a kind of harmony, and that it comes down to human caring. Everybody from every place essentially recognizes the humanity of others, and they don't really worry too much about the differences.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, John. Just one final question. I wondered, after you've been through this process as a director, has that changed how you've worked on acting jobs since?
Yes, it has. And I think I need to start asking directors whether that's a good thing or not. It has changed the way in which I look at it. It's given me an opportunity to have a kind of a freedom in the moment, understanding the parameters of the filmmaker's task, and knowing that when you hand your performance over to the director to create the final version, you want to create as many opportunities for them to go in different directions as they need to. It's created a circumstance in which I feel much less precious about the overall work, and much more precious about the individual moments. A one take versus another take have to be different for a director to have the opportunity to go in a different way, or to need a different emotional color or tempo. You have to work on each of those purely, and then let the director make the decisions she or he want to make.
That sounds like great advice as well.
It is a giving over to a trust that I think actors, rightly so, feel worried about when they turn it over, because they go, now I'm powerless. You have everything I've gotten into it, and I hope that you make something beautiful out of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking to us today, John. Really looking forward to playing the film. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.